Welcome to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, where the discussion will be about issues that affect people on a daily basis. Life's Issues is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Lloyd Rosen.
Happy Friday to everybody. We are here for another week of Life's Issues and talking with guests dealing with issues in life that touch everybody. If you are interested in coming on to the show and asking a question, you can dial in at 347-989-1363. You can press 1, but you'll go in the queue, so you can ask the question if you have one. If you don't have a question, you still can call in and listen to the show. That's up to you. If you're a Facebook social butterfly, you can go to Tough Talk Radio Network, or you can go to Lloyd Rosen and check us out there. You can dial into my email address, which is Bowler, B-O-W-L-E-R, 900, at sbcglobal.net, and ask me a question, and I'll be more than happy to get the answer to you and not leave you hanging, because I definitely want you to have the information that you want. You can also go to lifeissueswithlloydrosen.com, where you can register to be a guest on our show if you'd like to be. You can listen to the show there, or you can contact me there. One of three things that you can do, or all three. You can go to www.toughtalkradionetwork.com to learn all about the other shows and the hosts that we have here at the Tough Talk Radio Network. You can also download the shows at iTunes. You can listen to them again and again if you want to do that. And you have questions, you can definitely get back to me, and I'll answer the questions you have if you're listening to us on tape. So here we are on a Friday afternoon, almost the end of April. We're heading into May. Weather is starting to turn around for us. Hopefully we have seen the last of winter, although I will tell you I ran into some people during the week who are from Minnesota, and believe it or not, they told me that they had 17 inches of snow last week. So I guess we should be very lucky and count our blessings. This week we have two great guests for you. One of them is a gentleman who is a musician. He's a yoga expert. He's done a lot of things in his life. I was looking over his website the other day getting prepared for the show, and I was like, okay, so we have a half hour of time to discuss a whole fortitude of things that he does. So without ado, I am going to tell you this gentleman is a musician. He is a Grammy-nominated musician. He has been on the stage with people like Run-DMC. He has been with Aztec Two-Step, Warren Zanz, Sean Mullins, a number of different people. But more importantly, he uses his music in cooperation with his yoga. He is a spiritual renaissance person. He's a professor. He's a national fitness and alternative health educator. He, like I said, he's done a million and one things. I'd like to bring in at this time 13 Hands, or as he goes by in the yoga community, Dalina.
Dalian, I'm sorry.
So how are you today?
I'm great, man. Thank you for having me. It's nice to be here.
Great. I'm glad to have you here. And we were talking off the air, and we realized getting in touch with each other during the week that we're neighbors. We live up the highway from each other. So
yeah.
this should be a fun talk. But let me get right into things. And I was reading your bio, and it does say that you wouldn't have discovered who you really were if it wasn't for almost dying from Crohn's. And like I said to you off the air, I had a friend who had Crohn's and suffered with it quite badly, where I don't know how you can suffer with it goodly, but, you know, that's just a little bit of humor there. But I wanted to find out from you. I know in my situation, the reason I do this show, as my listeners know, I suffered with depression for 13 years. I tried to kill myself twice. And I'm here to talk about it because I did become a survivor, and God allowed me to live. Now, and so I believe that everybody has a turning point in their life as to what turns them on, is finding out who they are and what they are and what their purpose is here on this earth. Now, reading this, I suspect that the Crohn's disease and almost dying from it is what made you discover who you are and what your purpose was here on life, in life.
Yeah, I would say it was probably the icing on the cake as far as a catalyst. There were many, I guess, mini and micro catalysts, you know, throughout the journey. There was my dad dying in a plane crash. There was the head trauma as a kid, sleigh riding. So the culmination of various experiences, you know, most of which had some element of trauma to them, you know, I think just sets you on this journey, whatever it is for you. I mean, everybody has, you know, a different series of experiences, but do, you know, pull the carpet out from underneath of you as far as what you think, you know, life is supposed to be or what you've been programmed or taught life to be, and then all of a sudden things happen, and then you're left to kind of sort through and sift through the rubble of what you have left, and then you do find a way to, yeah, you know, the suffering leads to enlightenment adage of the old Buddha. You know, it's just there is something to that that all of us experience at various points in our life that we come into our own, hopefully, if we listen and intuitively make the right decisions through these epiphanies that start to happen when you're struggling and holding on, you know, for dear life or whatever the situation is. In my case, it was just this constant Crohn's colitis thing that just was, you know, wreaking havoc on my whole system. And, yeah, and it was just not fun, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I've met amazing people on my path, and I've been able to use, you know, now everything that I've learned and developed in myself professionally, but also during my healing process, to now use as a kind of like a, you know, music, yoga, rock and roll, social work type of thing that I'm out there just educating and helping and trying to share, you know, what we all know. We all know something. So if we can all figure out a way to share it and help each other, then that's what life should be about at the end of the day.
And I have to agree with you 110% on that, because the old saying that you meet people for specific reasons. You may not know the reasons at the moment you meet them, but there are reasons why you meet everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And I think the problem with our society today, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that when you're in these times of trouble and need, we don't listen as much as we should listen, because if we did, we might end up coming out of it in a whole better place instead of delving possibly further into the hole.
It's hard. It, you know, if there was one clear-cut method or one clear-cut answer as to help every single person figure out what they need to do to kind of tap into that inner voice, you know, there'd be a lot of super, super, super wealthy people, because it's something you can't package. It's obviously, like you said, it's an intuitive process to feel, to listen to your inner guidance. And we live in a society, yes, that's extremely, you know, stressed out and toxic, just from our lifestyle perspective. We're, especially the tri-state area, I mean, you know, it's like the armpit of stress here in the country, and we're like this hamster in this spinning wheel scurrying to try to get to that little water feeder, you know, and everybody is in this place of heightened fear of not having enough, and we compete against each other. We'll, you know, the Bernie Madoff type personalities who've been wounded as children grow up to be very entitlement-based and holier than thou and feel that they can throw people under the bus so that they can get ahead at the expense of others. I mean, there's a whole paradigm shift happening about, like, you know, we can actually all be abundant and help each other and leave the ego in a healthier place and not be so stressed out and feel that I'm better than you, or I have this house or this car or this line of clothing that defines me and makes me, you know, a better or more, you know, powerful person in the world. And it's such BS. And it's, I think, but societally, it's been a program that has been running in all of our subconscious minds is how we go out and make a living. And it is, in certain industries, an extremely stressful, cutthroat world. And I think people are exhausted. It's exhausting. It's stressing to the body. It weakens the immune system. And we're, you know, when we're not in our own power and our own authentic identity of who we are and our purpose, yeah, we project those darker elements of who we are, our negative aspects, our insecurity, our fear, all of that, you know. And until we own that and have practices, it could be yoga, it could be martial arts, it could be eating a healthy organic diet, it could be a number of different things that any one person does for themselves to improve their outcome and outlook so they can be more happy. And really, you know, happy is not just like this never-ending state. You got to work for it. I mean, you got stuff to do to contribute to your overall experience and your health, and that keeps you healthy and happy. And then you tend to make, you're able to listen to yourself more and hear those hunches and those intuitive gut instincts to make proper decisions that are really in your body and in your purpose's best interest. And then you're living a great life, and you're not hurting anybody in the process.
Right. Let me touch. I was, like I said, I definitely was on your website reading about you. Your mother was a big influence in your life of music as far as learning to play instruments. So
yeah.
I would suspect that music came first in your life, and then you progressed and found yoga, and you combined the two of them.
Yeah, I mean, I thank my mom all the time whenever I'm ever doing a lecture or talking about yoga and health and the power of sound and vibration on the central nervous system. I mean, you know, music is such an incredible force for healing and for joy. You know, we all love music, I hope. I would think that there's not one person on the planet that doesn't like music. I think obviously people have different tastes as far as what music they like. And I've just been very lucky that my journey has exposed me to so many types. I have like 5,000 albums. I play 25 different instruments. I mean, my mom, after I came home, I guess, from the first recorder class in third grade where you're playing Hot Cross Buns and Mary Had a Little Lamb, I was, you know, she just saw that I was a very quiet kid, and I just really took to music, and so she put me right in clarinet lessons, and that led to, like, piano and then organ and then guitar, and then I just kept getting into the music programs in school, and I've just never looked back, and I just kept picking up instruments and learning them and getting educated in music, and then obviously I had my health crisis kicking in late teenage years, early college, and then as I got into the work that I had to do to fix myself, kind of this, I don't know, this holistic Humpty Dumpty journey, I call it, of just using natural methods once I got tired of being over-pumped with antibiotics that were only weakening my system and the gut flora, and that has a big, you know, big thing to do with your whole, your mental clarity, your overall health, is your digestive health. And so once I was, you know, discovered yoga and martial arts and this whole energy principle, my approach, I mean, I still make regular music and contemporary music, but I also have this whole other world and chant and meditation and instrumental stuff that really is contributing to helping people, you know, not only myself, but it just helps people relax. It helps people sleep. Chanting can be a very joyous thing, like when you go to church and you sing like a Christmas mass and, you know, Silent Night. I mean, it's when you go and have these experiences where music becomes a communal, tribal experience with your audience. It's not just a performance anymore where you're, look at me perform and check me out. No, it's like check us out, and we're all singing together, and everyone's part of the band, so to speak. So, you know, music has an inherent power to shift and people's consciousness and heal them and support the nervous system, but also it's like spiritual karaoke, man. People don't express themselves fully, and I've fought my whole life to fix my body so I can try and do my best to continually express myself to my fullest potential and with integrity at the same time.
And it sounds like you have, in a certain sense, I'm sitting here reading your bio that I printed out, and Russell Brand, who we all know as an actor and comedian, has said that he found his personal Jesus in 13 Hands music. So if that doesn't say anything about your music, I don't know what does.
Yeah, especially from him, because he's, you know, he's an interesting character. I've never met him. It was through a PR person I was working with who, you know, worked with him, and she thought he would dig because he has an addiction background and he's worked very hard on himself and still does, and he's, you know, he does yoga and meditates. And so some of my music was forwarded to him, and he, you know, in his quirky, fun-loving, goofy way, he offered a quote back to that PR person who then, you know, I was given permission to just, you know, throw, you know, the marketing of what you got to do to just, you know, try to keep your business moving, which is just, you know, I call it spiritual entrepreneurship. It's just about, you know, connecting
and
with good people, yeah, and getting this kind of credibility and feedback from people who can, you know, say nice things about what you do, and I feel very grateful for that.
Let me have you, we're up against our first break for the day. Let me have you give my listeners information as to where they can find you and where they can get your music.
Yeah, please. Anyone who's listening, thank you so much for tuning in and supporting his wonderful radio show. And 13hands.com, 13hands.com. You can pretty much reach me there, sign the newsletter, or send an email through the contact form, connect through Facebook and everywhere else. So just please stop by if you'd like to connect. And if you send me a personal email through the contact form, I will give you a free download music that's been clinically proven for sleep. So if you send an email to me through the contact area of the website, I will give you that gift to help if you have stress and just need something to help reduce stress and relax and improve sleep, reduce anxiety. We'd be happy and honored to do that for you.
Sounds like a plan. I think I might be sending you a personal email to get that. So,
no, I'll give it to you anyway. Yeah, no worries.
No, I'm not. We'll be right back after these words.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Are you looking to buy, sell, or lease a home? Whether you are ready to complete your first transaction or you are a seasoned investor, Imagine Realty has qualified realtors ready to help you fulfill your real estate needs. Imagine Realty International is a boutique brokerage that specializes in customer service. We market properties from all over the world to people all over the world. Visit us on the web at ImagineRealtyInternational.com or call our office at 832-444-2363. Imagine Realty International, making dreams come true.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com.
Welcome back to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen on this Friday afternoon at the end of April. We're here today discussing the combination of music, yoga, healing, and a number of other things with a gentleman who goes by the name of 13 Hands. He is a yoga instructor, and we were just discussing his music and how he got started in it and how he incorporated it into yoga. And I was just sitting here reading a little bit more about your bio, and it says that you incorporate spontaneity, humor, build a feeling of community and family when you go out and speak. Would you say that's correct?
Yeah, I kind of have this like, I don't know, kind of like a Robin Williams, George Carlin-esque kind of, not as vulgar, but just that kind of just off the cuff, in the moment, wacky, and if I'm talking and really and going deep on a subject, I try to bring humor into everything that I do, even when I'm performing concerts or doing talks or just doing, you know, even when I do my trauma work and I'm helping people in recovery, if I'm doing groups or social work groups, I mean, humor is a big, big, important part of the healing process, and it just makes us feel all more connected, you know.
Let me ask you this question, because I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you and I'm thinking to myself, you bring the humor, you bring the spontaneity, you make people see the positive side of you. Now, I realize I'm old enough to know you can't change everybody. They have to want to change. They won't have to want to change. But do you think in the work that you do, which to me personally, if I was at one of your seminars or your concerts or whatever, I couldn't help but walk out of there to be feeling positive, upbeat, and motivated to make myself a better person after hearing you. Do you do a lot of that with people? Do you get people who come up to you and say, wow, thanks a million, like Russell Brand did? or
I don't think I do it purposefully. I'm just trying myself to continually strive to just be authentic and really draw from, obviously, I don't want to dwell on the past, but your past is a source of wisdom, right? So it's about trying to channel what you've been through, but not, you know, being in this constant state, well, yeah, I had this and I'm a victim, and like, because that'll just trap you in this funk. And the whole point is to kind of move beyond it. And all I can hope that I'm doing is being a representation of, yeah, you can heal. You can move through trauma and tragedy and then develop that optimistic mindset. Obviously, once the body starts to align and your circulation improves and your neurological processes improve and your biochemistry balances out and you're eating better food and you're honoring yourself by taking the very best care that you can of yourself. So all I can say is, yeah, sometimes, you know, I'm sort of like a little poster boy of yoga and raw food and music, whatever. I don't get attached to that. People, yeah, I mean, I've been at the college for 11 years. I mean, it's an important role. It's an important job. I was very sick in college. So, you know, I feel like the karma of being a professor of yoga, which is like kind of silly when you think about it. You don't apply or put a resume in. I want to be a professor of yoga. You know, I just got a call, you know. It just happened. And so then part of me was like, okay, I need to do this, like, and I'm still doing it because it's important. You know, we're all stewards, or we can be stewards for each other and the earth, and we have to pass it on to the younger generation. You know, and I think it's just this process of, I think I motivate and inspire, not but just being myself. And I don't like have private coaching sessions. I do like yoga. I do it through the yoga and the sound and the events, and I think it rubs off. I mean, I'm just trying to. Even with, you know, running a business is not easy. It's hard work. And, you know, and it's just I try to use the toolbox that I was given so I can just keep doing my best to be this, I don't know, this little Santa's yoga little helper in the world. I don't know. It's just I am making it up kind of as I go along, and I just feel grateful that people respond to it and I can just keep humbly moving forward and grow it and keep growing and I love it. And it's just nice to be able to do something that you truly love. And like you said, you tap into your plan and your purpose, because I know what it's like to be suicidal. I've been there. I've been depressed, bipolar. I mean, it can balance out, and it just takes some very focused lifestyle commitments and a will to live, like, right? You know, like, some people can have that I am going to improve myself, and some people really struggle to tap into that, and that's a whole other show that we can talk about as to why. But if you can get people some of these basic tools and just kind of, you know, it's almost like you're helping them light this fire inside themselves to motivate themselves. But once they got it going, then you just walk away and they've got it, you know.
And you're absolutely right. We're here to help people, and we're here to light the fire to help them change their life to be better.
Yeah, keep it lit. Like, we're here to help put the kindling down for people who are, you know, need of support, but then it's like you lead the horse to water and you just hope that everything is there and then they'll drink. And then you just encourage that. And I think hope, love are like the main forces that can really help inspire someone to get on their path to help themselves heal from whatever they're dealing with, even if it's just they want to sleep better, they have anxiety or they have stress issues or they have severe digestive problems like Crohn's colitis. I mean, it could be anything. But, yeah, we're all very unique that way, and we all have different I was a military son, so there. I mean, there are a lot of my discipline, you know, I'm a Gemini, so I'm very, like, you know, fun, and I talk a lot, and my problem, I guess it's not really a problem, but my focus is I like to do lots of different things, and my sister's a Taurus, and my mother's a Taurus, and my dad was a Virgo. He died young, but they were all very pragmatic and organized and earth type. If you're into astrology, just there's some truth in that. And they're just A plus B equals C, and you don't deviate unless you can show me a scientific proof that demonstrates that A plus B does not equal C. You know what I mean? Me, I'm just like, yeah, it's like Galileo. Yeah, world's round. All right, cool. But, you know, when Galileo said the world's round, everyone's like, kill him, blasphemy. You know, so for me, having that grounded perspective growing up with my family helped me, especially when I was in my crisis, because I don't know. Like, I am grateful to so many different things, but I know that the personality of my family members just huge because they're just the antithesis of my normal personality. So they did rub off and help me get through a lot of the struggle as far as hunkering down, do not give up, discipline, regimen, which was really annoying for me because it doesn't come easy.
I can imagine. I can imagine if yeah.
just,
no, because I was the same way. I wasn't a military baby, but I had a definite issue with the discipline and listening to my parents. My father would say black, I'd say white, he'd say go, I'd say stay.
Yeah.
It was just one of those things. So I know where you're coming from as far as that's concerned. So we're going to be up against our second break here in a minute, but I just wanted to ask you, what is the emotional experience that you got out of this when you shared your music with 10,000 people in Central Park?
Oh, it was really surreal. I mean, it was a long day, so I was kind of tired. So when you're in that kind of loose, tired state, you're just like, everything is just like, yeah, everything's great, because you're trying to conserve your energy, you know, when you're in those days that are long and arduous. So you're just, yeah, it was really surreal. It was just kind of, it was cool. It was an honor and a great thing to do. But once it was done, it was like, okay, cool, wonderful. On to the next. Got to pick up the phone tomorrow and start booking more events. You know, it was just a really great thing that Flavor Pill did, and it was a lot of fun. Yeah, I don't really. It was like the Simon and Garfunkel moment. Like, wow, okay, neat. Wow, I hope I'm blessed to do it again sometime. You know, and then on to, you know, on to the regular rigmarole. You know, the grind.
Yeah. So what you're saying is basically you didn't get totally high off of it. You didn't have a big drop when you got off the stage and realized that you got to go back to being who you are and booking.
No.
More,
Yeah, whether it's 10 people or, I mean, I do events with 10 people and we rock it out in a little yoga center. And then you get these events that, like, I play at Kripalu and there's, like, you know, a couple hundred people there. And there's, like, these blessing gigs like the Central Park thing that happened years ago. And, you know, it's just, I just roll wherever it takes me. I mean, I do book, I do network, I have to do that. And it's all the same to me. I give the same amount of love and focus and energy, whether it's 10 people or 10,000 people. It doesn't matter. It's all the same to me.
We're all human beings, and it doesn't make a difference whether you're talking to one person or you're talking to the 10,000 people.
Exactly.
I totally get it because that's how I work.
Yeah.
When I talk about my journey, I'll talk to one person, I'll talk to four people, I'll talk to 4,000 people. It doesn't make a difference to me because I'm helping maybe one person, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah, whoever's there, whoever's in that event, whoever's at that event, whoever's in that room is supposed to be there, and you have to give, you have to do what you do best for 10, 5, 15, 25, 2,500, doesn't matter. It's just come from that authentic place and you're doing your thing.
Exactly. We're going to go take our next break, and when we come back, we'll discuss more about yoga and how it works towards keeping you healthy.
Sure. Happy to. Cool.
All righty. We'll be right back after this.
Are you concerned about your job? Concerned about losing it? Concerned about being repositioned in the workplace? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, or even if you just want to be a part of the workplace improvement revolution, then join the conversation with Charlie and his guests every Monday at 7 p.m. Central on Corporate Talk with Charlie Labosco, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
Join Dr. Alan Simberg and his guests every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Life-Changing Insights. Life-Changing Insights is a show dedicated to providing its listeners with self-improvement information that has a positive effect on an individual's mental, physical, and spiritual being, as well as unresolved relationship issues. For more information or to be a guest on Life-Changing Insights, go to LifeChangingInsightsWithDrAlanSimberg.com. Life-Changing Insights, every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Life's Issues here on this Friday afternoon. We are right in the middle of talking about the benefits of yoga, the benefits of music, and how it helps you to grab hold of who you are and help you to stay healthy and keep a strong mind, soul, and body, totally. My guest today is a gentleman by the name of 13 Hands. He is a yoga instructor. He's a musician. He's been on stage with the likes of Run DMC and a number of other people. Before we get back to him, I'd like to give the phone number again if there's anybody out there who would like to ask a question or tell us about their experience of using yoga. It's 347-989-1363. And you can press 1 if you have a question for our guest. As I said, we were discussing yoga and music and how it can make a better life for you. Let's touch base right now on yoga and what it does to your body as far as making you a better physical person.
Okay, yeah, happy to. Well, first of all, there's so many styles of yoga, so it's really just important to say that if you've never done yoga, please start with just a basic level one class so you can start to learn the technical aspects of how the body needs to be aligned properly to obviously get the most potential out of your experience and your journey and keep you safe at the same time, because it is a practice that is designed to challenge you, obviously, physically and emotionally, especially as you see, you know, we've been raised in sports and different physical activities since childhood that had a competitive element to it. So the beautiful part of yoga, when it finally kicks in, you know, after maybe, they say like the first 2 to 5 years of your practice is the first phase of disarming the ego, where, you know, some people go into yoga with a very type A personality and, you know, they want to get all the poses perfectly, and though their hamstring is completely tight and they really shouldn't be barreling or pushing the muscle that aggressively to touch the floor with their hands, if their body says, hey, homie, don't play this, your hamstring says touch your shins. So there's a line where you want to challenge yourself in a healthy way, keep your, you know, your technical alignment of the poses properly maintained, but to also see when, you know, you're can I say bullshitting? Can I say that? Is that okay?
You just said it.
Okay. So know when you're bullshitting yourself. You know, it's like when you really are, like, if you're reaching for a pose and you're not breathing calmly and you're, like, wincing and grimacing, then you got to, you know, it's hard to call that out if you don't have a good teacher. Sometimes you have to train yourself to realize, like, you should not be creating pain. You should not be grimacing. So I think, you know, for anyone who started yoga or is doing yoga, can relate to this, the first 2 to 5 years is really about kind of learning how to take ownership of the ego so that you can be safe, but also go on this incredible journey of just increasing oxygen into your blood cells. And that inherently improves circulation. And that is really like, imagine all of your organs. Imagine like your spleen, your kidneys, your heart, your lungs, your colon, things I've spent half my life up my ass. You know, all these organs with like little barbells in a gym working out. So when you do yoga, just the channeling of this deeper oxygenation into the blood is opening these pathways for increased circulation. And that helps the body with its parasympathetic nervous system response. Even though you're having this intense physical practice, you know, depending on the style that you do, because there's different degrees of intensity and, you know, and challenge. So the whole point is to just be in this moment of intensity and exploration while you're working the muscles out. But as you breathe so very deeply, you're also creating simultaneously the parasympathetic response in the nervous system while you're having a sympathetic reaction in the muscle. So it's kind of neat how you're working both sides of the nervous system to train it how, so when you are in a you know, reacting in your own personal life, like with life or a crisis or bills or money or a divorce or all that stuff that goes on that is very, very stressful in our individual lives, a yoga practice, even martial arts, Tai Chi, anything that is about breathing tied to movement, that will start to slowly in time train your body to have much more flight responses when you have regular life crisis and life reaction moments. You know what I'm saying? So the practice really can train you to then start reacting. It's not that you don't get angry. It's not that you don't get frustrated, but you will, but you'll be breathing through it, and you'll be like, okay, wow, this sucks. I'm angry. I think I'm going to go take a hike. I'm going to throw some rocks. Or you can be able to really see how you can more effectively and better, in a better way, manage those reactions as opposed to projecting out or getting angry or violent, you know, or whatever the case may be. So, I mean, yoga is this kind of gift that keeps on giving. That's why it's a lifelong practice. It is a journey that goes through different, you know, ebbs and flows. You know, it gets intense, it gets soft, you go through breathing-based practices. You really have no end to explore as it relates to figuring out how it can change you. It can really change and improve not only your physicality, because you'll be feeling like so much more energized consistently. Like when I was ill, I was sleeping 16 hours a day, and if you took your finger and like touched the back, my low back where my kidneys are, I would writhe in pain. It was just, I had so much stress going on internally that, you know, through years of yoga and obviously food and lifestyle, yoga is not the be-all, end-all, cure-all. It is part of a complementary support of steps and tools, especially when I was ill, to just, you know, get in there and start rebuilding the body from the inside out. And that is really the essence of the practice. You are moving and opening these energy systems and these circulatory systems, and things start to shift. The more you're on the mat, man, it's magic. It really is. It's amazing to see yourself grow and change and just start to feel better. And then obviously, you know, it affects your personality. The state of your organs and the stress that your organs are under reflect your personality, you know, as far as how you speak, act, talk, and treat people in the world.
I would have to say you're right, because when you're hurting, you have a whole different personality than when you're not hurting.
Yeah, and if you have no tools, you know, you can be hurting, but if you have a system of tools and a lifestyle, you know, toolbox that you can go to and you can catch and own those dark places, those negative moments, those crises, you do have the potential then to work through it. It's not like you want to repress. You know, our society is so good at repressing emotion. We're trying to generationally be the next generations that face problems head on and be open about them and express them. And it is interesting just being a man in our society too, because we've been taught, you know, my military dad, you know, like, you know, don't express, bottle it up. I mean, that destroys slowly. It's just so stressful to bottle up things that you need to express, but don't feel right. That it's not manly to express. I go, look, I've been trained in Kung Fu for a long time. I wouldn't hurt a fly. I'd rather go out and feed ducks than go out and use martial arts, you know, in a hurtful way. It was more about, well, they say martial arts is kind of like you train to fight, not to fight, because the only real fight you're fighting is the fight within yourself. It's the war within your own soul and psyche, you know, because some people turn to martial arts and more fighting-based Eastern practices because they've been hurt or they've been picked on or whatever the story may be. So I think the more tools you have, yeah, you can start to rein in and play rodeo, you know, with your own emotional bull, so to speak, to help yourself,
right.
Not do the
Go ahead.
To overreact.
Now, I was fascinated about how with yoga it's a breathing, and how the breathing will change your thinking or your body over time. Okay. And I know when I was first diagnosed with depression and put on the chemical meds, I was going to call them, the medication that I was put on, I found myself doing a lot of what people were asking me about, why are you sighing so much? And I wasn't purposefully sighing, I just found myself sighing or exhaling quite a bit more, which put me in touch with my breathing and how not suffering from depression anymore because I was on the medication, it was changing my breathing somehow. And I was now listening to what you're saying. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So. No, breathe. I mean, the whole point of the practice is breathing. I mean, it's just, it's a physical experience that demands focused attention on the length of the inhale and the length of the exhale. You want to feed the body with as much energy, oxygen, and yoga. It's called prana. Some people will call it life force, universal consciousness. I mean, there's many spiritual ways, you know, semi-religious ways to look at the process. Some people believe oxygen is the Holy Spirit, you know. It doesn't matter. Let's use what we're supposed to be. Air is fuel. It's energy for the body.
Exactly.
The more you're drinking it in, man, it's just the better the system is going to function.
Which, like I said, I was on the website last night and I was reading your page about chakras and stuff like that. And I a number of years ago, I got involved with a psychic medium who taught me how to meditate and how to breathe and, you know, how to take in the breath through the nose, hold it, and then exhale it, and get all the negative stuff out of your body and suck in all the positive air.
Yeah.
So I'm quite enlightened by all that. It's something that I've started to live by and learn more about, because it's just, let's put it this way, it's generally helped me feel better about myself. And I go back to the same question I think I started with, and it's like, if you can be helped by stuff that you learn, such as what you teach, why not grab it and run with it if it can make you a better person? Why would anybody want to stay in a state of negativity their whole life? That's the whole thing that I have a hard time dealing with.
Well, you know what it is? It comes down to these, again, if we took, it's case by case. I mean, if we really just sat and looked at everybody's life from age, pretty much, let's just say from age 2 to 12, let's just look at that 10-year developmental time of our lives. It's that whole thing. Some people just, if your parents were pessimistic type of people, not happy,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're going to be wearing that. That's going to be in your DNA. I mean, I'm not saying literally, but it's like it's coded into your whole emotional psyche. And it's going to take even more work to break away from that belief system that you were handed when you face some kind of your own crisis, because the immediate reaction is to mimic what you've seen in your environment. Not everyone will do it, but a good percentage will. So that makes it a little bit more challenging as to why some people will, you know, struggle with not digging in or believing they have what it takes to heal or better themselves. It's almost like with addiction. It's just like until you really can get someone fully detoxed in the right way, there's always going to be that pull to keep wanting that drug or that, I don't know, a cupcake or whatever the food, emotional relationship to food is that many people have. You know, there isn't one be-all, end-all, blanket general statement that covers the reason why. It really is just something. There are patterns that exist that are kind of similar, but until you sit down with a person on a case-by-case basis to really understand their whole life and how different things have contributed to their thinking, then, you know, that's where, you know, then you can hopefully come up with a plan that's custom tailored. And some of it will involve yoga. Sometimes it doesn't involve yoga till later, because yoga can be too traumatizing. Too much can be emotionally released by doing practice if it's too intense too soon. So sometimes it's just a matter of food. And I like to work when I'm not doing concerts or talking or teaching. It's like helping people with sleep is one of the first major steps to at least getting some balance again in the body. So hopefully helping people find that source of strength, you know, so that they'll face the fear. Because, you know, it's like sabotage and procrastination. You know when you're depressed. You know that a part of you knows that you don't want to be. But then there's a part of us that sometimes feels helpless because we're just told that this is what you do. You got to take this pill and there's nothing else unless you find information or talk to other people and people give you different perspectives, and then you can go. And if you have that kind of seeker, Galileo type of mindset where no stone unturned, that if something doesn't sound right to you, I want to do this naturally, then you should go get it. And that's kind of where I was at, too. And it sounds like you did a lot of the same things. I mean, it's there's no judgment. Nobody's wrong. Nobody's blaming anybody. I'm not trying to blame the system. It's just that, you know, when you see some of these commercials for the drugs, they spend, like, the first 10 seconds telling you what it does, and then the rest of the commercials, all these potential side effects. I go,
I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's interesting you say that, and I wanted to throw this thought in. I watch those commercials with my girlfriend, and they go through, like you said, they tell you the first 30 seconds of what it does for you, and then they spend the next minute and a half telling you what the side effects are. And I always look at those commercials and I say, maybe I'd rather have the illness than deal with the side effects.
Wow, yeah, right? Oh, my God.
You know, I mean, that's just like I'm going, okay, the side effects are going to kill me anyway, so I might as well just let the cancer kill me, you know? I mean, it's a humorous way of looking at it, but some people would say, yeah, you're right, because the whole list of side effects are crazy.
And only the individual can sit there and inform themselves and then maybe research more and then hopefully feel good that you eventually have done the homework to make the best informed decision that feels right for you. But for me, you know, I spent a long time being a guinea pig in a petri dish. That's what it felt like. And I just wanted to get better. I just wanted to feel well. I wanted to have energy. I wanted to eat more than 10 foods for 3 years. That's all I could do was eat 10 foods. And, you know, and I had to give up my music. I had to put things on hold, and that was painful, but it was good because I had to kind of learn about the ego that way. It's just like give up the thing that you think validates you in the world, give up the skill and the gifts that you think you want to do for a living, but you're motivated by ego. So it's interesting, like when you lose that and you have to really get deep in the trenches with yourself, man.
Let's do this right now. I don't mean to interrupt you, but we need to take our final break of the day, and then we can come back and continue this.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm a Gemini. I just talk and talk and talk.
Okay. We'll be right back after this.
Okay.
Join Judy Hoberman on her radio show, Selling in a Skirt, Mondays at noon Central, for exciting discussions about challenges for women in today's society. The talk is about women in business, work and life balance, leadership, and current events related to gender communication. Be prepared to be inspired, motivated, and challenged. Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on the Tough Talk Radio Network is your connection to women nationally, internationally, and globally. So get comfy and see what the buzz is all about. Listen live on Mondays at noon by going to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com.
Welcome back to the last few minutes of Life's Issues this Friday in the end of April. We're here talking with a yoga instructor, musician, all-around healer, I would have to say, after talking with him for the last hour. 13 hands, and just to sum up a little bit here, you were saying in the last segment about how people are programmed by being in a negative relationship their whole childhood, and I totally get it because I was in one I'm the perfect example of what you're talking about. But I'm also the perfect example of the person who realized that they didn't want to be in that cubbyhole, and whatever happened to me as a child, I turned it around and did the complete opposite to my children. And so as much as I was abused when I was growing up, my daughter has never been spanked by me. My son, I think, has been spanked twice, and they're 32 and 23. So,
well, God bless. That's an amazing testament. Like I said, there are wonderful stories. I mean, I think for me, too, I mean, I love my dad. I mean, but it took like 30 years to be able to say that. Like, you know, we were so angry. I mean, here I was, this quiet little musical art kid, you know, and he's this military, and my brother was a little bit more sports-minded. So, there, you know, I know he loved me, but it's just, you know, it was kind of hard dealing with just, you know, the Irish Catholic potato famine ancestral lineage that came before him that was definitely a big part of who he was. And once you understand that, but later on in life, and then having him die in a plane crash when I was 15, that was, and there was no closure. It was like I told him to go F himself and hung up the phone. I was mad, and he died, and there was no goodbye, no nothing. So life throws us all different experiences, and that was a rough one because it was like the guilt and the anger, and then you have to earn closure. You have to earn it sometimes. And, and our childhood, our upbringing, the way we were treated by our parents, you know, who obviously only did our parents do the best they can, you know, or our guardians or whatever the situation may be. Everybody tries to do the best they can given how they were raised, and if they haven't broken free of some of those patterns, which we've talked about, it makes it really harder because those memories keep looping in your body, and then they affect your decisions and how you see yourself, how you view yourself, how you value yourself, all of it, man. I mean, you don't have to be a psychologist to know this stuff. You just have to have gone through some tough stuff and had those epiphanies and then made those changes. So, like, as much as I love my dad, there are certain things I honor about him, and I am glad that I've learned from him. But I am not him. I am the most expressive, I guess, generational Irish Catholic of that lineage. I feel like I've broken through some of those programs and patterns, given, you know, my circumstances and what I had to do to change and improve myself.
Right, and so that speaks volumes for you and for me as well, because we did have the strength, the inner strength,
yes,
to move forward, and unfortunately not everybody has it, and they just say, well, what would be, and they give up. Exactly.
Yeah,
they give up.
It's the victim archetype. It's the archetype of the victim stage is what they kind of term it, but you have to be in it. I was in it, and then I remember just listening in my grandmother's basement, just quietly listening to Tony Robbins when I was like 21, because I was just so sick, and I was just like trying to absorb anything that just keep jacking up my mind to push my body forward, because it was so weak and the immune system was so weak back then. And now I'm awesome in the best health of my life, and I'm in better shape than my college kids, you know, but it's just, it's a process of like, there's that thing that some people have that like, I will heal. I will not give up. It is not my time to leave. I've got things to do, you know, and maybe part of it is ego driven for a while, but then once you feel better, you're just so grateful to feel good. You're grateful to be able to eat a decent meal without incidents, without any flare-ups, without any issues of the Crohn's colitis. And, you know, in healing, you know, there's so much anger and rage related to those issues of colitis and Crohn's. You know, those really, it's just this repressed loss of anger, lots of stuff going on there from who took your power, who picked on you, who abused you emotionally, physically, whatever. And you start to see a lot of these digestive issues really once I've helped and worked with a few people over the years. And so once you start getting the physical symptoms under control with food or lifestyle and meditation, yoga, stress management, then if someone is willing and brave enough, they're going to ask and they're going to want to go deeper into like, well, why did this happen in the first place? Why did my body like totally shut down and rebel against me? And that's what cancer is. Cancer is the body turning on itself, essentially, energetically speaking.
Yeah, and your body is eventually, whether it's an illness, a disease, or just plain old age,
Yeah.
Your body is going to turn on you, but you have, and this is pretty much a good way of wrapping up the talk we've had. You have the ability, have the resources, you have the know-how as to how to keep your body healthy, keep it strong. I don't understand, like in today's society, I don't understand people. I mean, when you and I were growing up, smoking, they didn't have as much information about smoking as they do now. And the kids still light up, and people still smoke, or whatever. And I just look at it, and I go, where are their brain cells? Where are they coming from as far as smoking a pack or two a day?
Well, that's where I think yoga and the meditation and just getting to a place of balance for me has developed a certain degree of empathy and compassion for people, which, you know, when you do the work that I do or anybody who does this kind of holistic work or life coaching or yoga teaching, there is this place where you can empathize and understand that. Well, if we're going to use smoking as the example, there's a couple ways to look at that. A, it's a direct rebellion against the parents on some level, for whatever the reason or what might be going on growing up, that you just finally want to do something risky and run with scissors because maybe you've been smothered and lectured your whole life, you know, as most kids are. Don't do that. Don't touch that. Don't go there. You can't do that. And then when they start to become teenagers, it's like, fuck that, I'm smoking. You know, and they know on some level that it's just not good for them, but there's just something maybe rebellious that they need to express because it gives them this feeling of power and autonomy for wherever they're at, if we're talking about when it starts, you know, in teenage years or even, you know, adolescence or in college. And then there's obviously choices like that. People might choose cigarette smoking because they just... a part of their soul or their spirit is just sad, you know, and they don't love themselves, and they just, on some conscious level, they may want to leave. So let's see if I can quicken my time here by smoking. You know, it's almost like a slow death wish that's rooted in some place of hurt. You know, that could be a thing that's possibly playing out in the background of someone's subconscious mind and belief system of as it relates to how they value themselves. It's such an addicting thing, you know, it's a stimulant. So if you're not taking care of yourself, you're eating fast food and all this other stuff that's toxic and high sugar, you know, and you don't exercise and take care of yourself, you're always looking for that thing, whether it be caffeine or sugar products or smoking, to just keep stimulating your organs, especially your adrenal glands, to keep firing up when you don't have a balanced system of good rest, proper sleep, decent exercise, good food intake. So this is why, especially I see it being a college teacher all these years, why it's so easy just to go for the stimulants as the source of energy when you have it inside your body. It's inside you. You just have to generate it and learn how to use oxygen and you know, in the practice of yoga or martial arts and things like that.
All right. Let me have you give my audience one more time where they can find your music and find you, and then I'm going to have to say thank you for coming on.
Oh, dude, this has been great. This is a great show. I really appreciate the forum and the ability to share and connect with everybody. Again, hi, it's Dalian 13 Hands. The website is 13hands.com, 13hands.com, and please stop by. You can connect to everything through there, Facebook. There's music. There's albums there in the store, to Bandcamp. You can listen or buy. That's great. I appreciate it if you did. If you want to support, God bless, and super gratitude for you for doing that. But if you have some sleeping issues or stress issues, please go to the contact area and send a direct email if you can within, you know, maybe a week or so after hearing this, and I will send you a free 17-minute piece of just ambiance that you can use. It's been proven to help people sleep better and reduce anxiety when used consistently, and I'd be happy to share that with y'all and just appreciate you listening.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on for the hour. It's been a fun-filled hour, and I appreciate all the information that you shared with me and my audience, and you have a wonderful Friday and a great weekend.
You too, Lloyd. Man, keep in touch. We're neighbors, and keep doing what you do, and God bless everybody. Thank you so much for the time.
Same to you. Take care.
All right, bud.
All right. That was 13 Hands, a yoga teacher, a college professor, a musician, everything wrapped up into one person. Amazing, amazing man. That does it for another show this week. Remember, you're one person in the world, but you may be the world to one person. We'll see you all next week on another issue of Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen. Take care.
You have been listening to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.